This project was produced by Belong Aotearoa with the support from the J.R. Mackenzie Trust and Planet FM. The series is an exploration of the employment journey for people of migrant and former refugee background in Aotearoa. It features conversations with people of lived experience and experts who share with us their stories and their own perspectives.
Marina, welcome to Pass the Mic. I'm your host, Shebnam Nisha, and with me in studio is our producer, Tina Gonzalez. And I'd like to welcome our guest, Dr. Sherry Lee, who is joining us online from Wellington. Kia ora and welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I'm really pleased to be here.
Awesome. We'll get right into it. Tell us, Sherry, when you were a little kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I think I wanted to be a teacher because my parents were teachers. And then they said, be a lawyer. And so I changed my mind. And they said, how about a doctor? And I changed my mind again. But in the end, what I really wanted to be was a writer. But when I did become one, I realized maybe I should choose a different career.
I love that, how many changes you've had. And it's a bit of a trend, eh, whenever we ask this question. Anyways, I'd like to know where you're originally from and what brought you to Aotearoa.
Well, I'm from Singapore and I came to Aotearoa, New Zealand more than 10 years ago. I came here to study a PhD in education. I had the hopes of becoming an academic in the field of international education. So I was a lecturer in Singapore and I wanted to work more with learners from different nationalities and cultural backgrounds. And if I could share a little bit more, you know, my career plan for being an academic just wasn't as smooth as I had imagined. And I decided to explore job opportunities elsewhere. I started looking in the public sector instead and I didn't really think about that. Remember? That wasn't part of what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so after 5 years of working in different government departments and working on education and workforce-related policy projects, I faced another unexpected turn of events. And my job, along with many other jobs, was made redundant as a result of change in government priorities. And once again, I explored job opportunities in other sectors. And I'm now a careers consultant at Te Heranga Waka, Victoria University of Wellington.
Wow, amazing, amazing. I am curious to know, how many languages do you speak?
Not that many. So I speak English, I speak Mandarin, and I speak what I consider my true mother tongue, and that is Hokkien. So that's a dialect, and that's a language that's very close to my heart because it was the language that I used to communicate with my grandparents because they didn't speak English, they didn't speak Mandarin. And although I don't speak it very often, it is one thing that I know that I'm home when I hear it.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful. I don't think I've heard of that before, but I'll definitely look that up soon. Moving on, let's talk about career development and how it affects migrants and former refugees. What is career development?
Well, broadly speaking, it's about knowing how you progress in your career. It's more than just finding jobs. It's about who do you think you are or who do you want to be, understanding opportunities, knowing how to look for information, where to network, how to find out about how you can get your next job or what you want to be in a longer period of time, future planning. So that's what I would consider career development. It's a lifelong thing. It's not something you do once. I think you do it all the time, especially when you're thinking of changing jobs.
And do you think it is a necessity to have in our daily lives?
Well, I think people think about it without realizing it's called career development. I think people are, especially now, perhaps feeling quite anxious about the lack of jobs or not knowing where to go. And so if you understand how to develop your career, understanding what tools or strategies that can help you, I think that's going to be helpful regardless of any stage you are in your career.
How would people's lives, especially those of migrants and refugees, would change if career development was taken a bit more seriously?
I think what you would see is a stronger and more long-lasting transition from one country to another. With career development support, you are helping people to build confidence because when people are looking for jobs, they're usually under a lot of stress. They're trying to establish a new identity. They're trying to get money. They're trying to provide for their family. If we have the support of career practitioners to give practical support, like looking at CVs, there is a support of trying to help them understand the culture of New Zealand workplace. There's a support of coaching them through specific things like networking and interview preparation. These are really practical things that can help people increase their confidence and therefore improve their chances of landing a job.
Are there any services provided to assist migrant and refugees with this?
Well, one of my very first jobs was to be a career consultant for the Work Connect program. And so that program was a government-funded program, and it supported new migrants in the first 5 years of being in the country with practical things like job search, understanding New Zealand culture, coaching to support them with interview preparation and so on. So that unfortunately ended a few years ago when the funding ended. Currently, there are probably pockets of government-funded programs in Auckland or perhaps in Christchurch. I do not know of any national-wide program, which is what I would certainly endorse and promote, because with scale and with expertise, you can reach a much wider group of migrants and former refugees.
Who do you think is responsible for these services, the services of putting career development out there? Who do you think is responsible or should be responsible for this?
Ideally, I think it's the government. But to make it a sustainable practice, I think it should be a partnership between government and businesses, because ultimately it's businesses who employ people. So I think it needs to be a co-partnership that both understand the benefits of providing support and doing it together.
And how do you think career development relates to the migrant and refugee experience with employment in Aotearoa?
Oh, it's a great question, because, you know, I came from overseas thinking I'm starting fresh, and, you know, I came with my qualifications and experience from a different country. And one of the things I faced was people don't understand that. So for a lot of New Zealand employers, qualifications and experience from countries they might have never visited, or they're just simply unfamiliar with, they might not place the same value as what they do understand. And so one of the things I faced was trying to explain what my qualification was about. How did my job experience relate to where I wanted to work in New Zealand? So I think for a lot of migrants and former refugees who are trying to make that cultural adjustment to work, are probably going to come up with the similar kind of barriers I experienced. But there is a way forward. And one of the practical ways is to explain in a form of the CV, writing clearly, also when you give a chance to meet potential employers, just to have to engage them in a chat, because a lot of employers like to know you, to know they can trust you. And so building relationships is an important part of career development or finding jobs. And it's probably one of the biggest cultural adjustments I've had to make when moving to this new country.
Sherry, in your career so far, you must have met a lot of people along the way. What were the barriers that you came across that hindered them finding employment in Aotearoa?
So one of the biggest hurdles is getting New Zealand work experience. They might have a lot of experience in other countries, but what they lack is the local experience. So the practical hindrance is, well, I don't have New Zealand experience. Where am I going to get it?
So Sherry, what's the easiest way or the best way to overcome that hurdle?
I would say is look for opportunities to volunteer in your local or community organization. Now, the one thing I love about New Zealand is how we're so community-minded. Everyone needs a helping hand to do good for someone. So I think there are plenty of opportunities for someone who's new to the country to help out, to volunteer, to see if there's a project they can support. By volunteering, they're also gaining really practical experience with understanding the local community, how people work. And from volunteering experience, you learn what we call employability skills. Things like communication, teamwork, ways of working. By volunteering and putting in your CV, you're demonstrating to the local employer that you have made an effort and you do have practical experience in this country.
Now, we have heard you talk about broker theory. Can you tell us more about that, please?
Sure. So brokering is an idea when someone is able to bridge two worlds, the world where they're from and the world where someone needs to learn. So in the context of employment, a broker, might that be a careers advisor or a careers coach, what that person is trying to do is say, well, you're from this culture and this country. I understand your concerns. You want to be able to find work in this new country. Let me share with you the specific ways to understand that information. And perhaps because I share your culture, I may be able to speak your language. And so I'm perhaps using your native language to explain quite foreign or new concepts to you. So I think a career coach in terms of bridging that gap between what a migrant or refugee knows and to where they want to go to is quite relational, because information is everywhere. But I think it takes a particular person to be able to unpack that information in a way that's culturally appropriate, in a way that makes sense to the listener. So while there might be many people who offer career development, career coaching, or career advice, for it to be beneficial and for that relationship to work, I think it is something between that person and that career broker, if you like. I think they need to be comfortable with one another and trust each other that they're working towards a shared goal.
Do you believe that you having a few languages on your shoulders, you are able to connect with a lot of people in the community and guiding them towards employment in Aotearoa?
I like to say I don't solely speak to people or attract people who speak the same language that I do. Just to go back with my initial, reason for wanting to study a PhD and do international education, I believe that if you understand how to interact with different cultures, it will really help you be a better person and knowing how to interact with all sorts of problems. So my personal view is that I want to interact with people perhaps who have similar experiences to me. Not so much that we speak the same languages, but we experience sort of the same background about being new to New Zealand. And I think that story is really powerful to connect with others who have faced similar problems in employment. And I think by sharing that story, they feel a sense of confidence that if I have managed to overcome the barriers, so too can they.
When you're working as a broker, how do you guide them into employment?
I think one of the things I start with is to invite them to tell their story. Everyone has a story about what they want to do, who they want to become. And it's from that story that we can unpack what might this mean in the New Zealand context. And then also, and very importantly, is to explore their networks. And one of the challenges is that newcomers have very thin networks. And so another point of discussion is how do we grow their networks? As I mentioned earlier, volunteering is a great way to start building up experience as well as learning about other people and building your networks. And I think by combining the personal story, what they want to be, the people they know, we start to be able to formulate a sort of plan moving forward.
And how can people explore the transferability of their skills?
I think one good way is to actually write it on paper. Because if I ask you right now, what are all your skills? You might be stumped and you might say, I don't have any. And I absolutely do not believe that answer. So one of the ways I work with clients is to ask them, let's write down all the skills that you have. And then I show them a list of skills that employers do value and they start to see similarities. And so one practical way of understanding your transferable skills is number one, to reflect and write down the skills that you have. Number two, compare them with what New Zealand employers are expecting or looking out for. And then number three, to be able to write your skills and express them in a way that makes sense for the context, for the kinds of jobs that you're applying for.
In your experience, has the landscape changed for migrants and refugees who are trying to navigate into employment in Aotearoa?
I think that question has different answers depending on when you ask them. So for example, when the economy is doing really well, when employers are screaming out for people to take up jobs, that's probably when migrants or former refugees might find it easier to land roles. But right now, what we're facing is, particularly in Wellington, businesses are becoming more cautious, people are not hiring as much, and that's when you start to see a lot more competition. And so the barriers become more pronounced. There will always be barriers if you're not from here, if you haven't a lot of experience in this country. But when competition is really tough and when there are fewer jobs, you will probably experience this more. And I suspect that is what is happening.
Do you think New Zealand has a national plan to deal with employment? And if not, why not?
So we're talking about employment of migrants and refugees. I think depending on the government of the day, they would probably have some sort of plan to support migrants and refugees. I think what I want to say is that probably the plan isn't so clear as governments change and people don't feel a sense of confidence that there's an ongoing commitment to do that. Like I mentioned earlier, there have been government funded programs in the past, perhaps to a greater extent, and there might still be government funding now, perhaps in a lesser degree. But I think it's the visibility and continuity and that real commitment to support employment for migrants and refugees that I think is lacking. And I think a lot more can be done when governments, businesses, community organizations join together to say, this is what is needed and this is how we're going to do it for a long time.
Do you have any recommendations for people who don't have access to this kind of services?
I want to say, depending on where they live, there might be community organizations that do provide some sort of career support. I don't want to mention particular organizations because it may not be relevant in where they live. But I think, first of all, check in with your community center. There's currently a website called careers.govt.nz, and it is maintained by the Tertiary Education Commission. So there are a lot of resources there, such as CV and cover letter templates, advice for networking, and ideas about how to plan your career.
Now, Sherry, what would you like to see different moving forward in the future as a career development coach?
I think businesses have a really important role to play. I've spoken a lot about government funding, but I don't think government funding is the only solution, and it shouldn't be the only solution. I think businesses have a role to play in working with government and community organizations to, number one, understand the value that migrants and former refugees bring to our employment, to our workforce, in fact, to the prosperity of the country. If we can all agree this is a good thing, then we need to take practical steps, organize, coordinated, concerted efforts to say, how can we help people? How can we be the very brokers that they need to help them shift from one culture to another? Practical things like work opportunities, internships for mid-career changes, opportunities to meet people, to network. These are things that a lot of people take for granted. So when you are faced with a group of newcomers, the best thing is to step them through these processes.
We've still got a lot of work for us moving into the future, eh, Sherry? Now, Sherry, is there any other projects that you're a part of in the community that you'd like everyone to know about?
I think one of the projects I'm really proud of doing is working with Voice of Aroha. So Voice of Aroha supports youth, or the young at heart, if you like, from refugee and migrant backgrounds. And I feel really drawn to their work because they believe in the potential of young people to make a difference in their lives. So I've participated in their climate change workshops. I've supported them by helping the participants understand how to do a good presentation. And I really look forward to working more with them to really empower the youth of wonderful, diverse backgrounds to make a real impact and difference, not just to this country, but to wherever they go in the world.
Sounds awesome. Now, Sherry, is there anything else you'd like to say to the people listening in before we wrap up for the day?
I want to say you are valuable. Don't let a rejection letter change your mind about that. Don't give up. We need to be persistent and we need to persevere. And practically, if something doesn't work, try a different way.
Excellent words of wisdom, Sherry. Thank you so much. Well, that brings us to the end of our Pass the Mic podcast episode. Thank you very much for joining us, Sherry.
Thank you. I'd love to come here again if I get a chance.
Awesome. We'd love to have you with us in the future as well. It has been awesome sharing this space with you today. We wish you a wonderful day ahead. Thank you to all listening in. And with that, we are out. Namihi ka kite anō. That was our Pass the Mic episode. Check out the rest of our season dedicated to the employment experience of migrants and former refugees. Share your favorite episodes and subscribe to our channel. If you haven't already, go back to our first Pass the Mic series, which highlights a range of ethnic experiences in Aotearoa. Our employment season is a collaboration between Belong Aotearoa, Foundation North and Planet FM with assistance from Voice of Aroha. You can find the link to these organizations in the bio.
Connecting your community. Planet FM on planetaudio.org.nz.
can make radio with funding support through New Zealand On Air. Complete the application on planetaudio.org.nz/make radio.
Professor Longhair. But he learned this from me, you know. I named it the Dupree Special. And he used to play it all the time. This is my special. Think of yourself. Have you ever been lonesome? If you ever been lonesome, you know how I feel. Like you're lonely and your life don't seem real. But when you play the blues, it bring you back real. Give me a little guitar that let me feel all right. Told me to be careful, but not in life, true spirit. Say, son, you must always take your time and do it easy. And the way I do it like this. Remind me of my mother-in-law. Let's go down the bottom now.
Services, just part of the service on planetaudio.org.nz.
Dedim Muhammed Ali gibi gülü razıyım. Bana bak beni gör beni ölmez diye. Sözüm hep duyulur tepeden mariton. Mekanım olabilir her anı son. Yanıma gidenin canına gelecektir. Ey be meneyim aynı fon. Bunu ben bunu sen şunu ben onu sen günü ben günü sen. Fenomen olacak dolacak her yer menemen. Kıvamı bal çık gelemem. Denemem dostumu göremezsem. Düşmanı postunu geri senemezsem. Rüzgar gibi esemezsem veremezsem. Kalbimi geri gelemezsem. Sen beni beni beni günüyümü geri beni. Kendini beni beni yamacıma gelemedin. Amacına varamadın her yeri kırıldın. Barışına yarıladın acımadan aldın. Rüyaların daldın bal arası gök arası. İstanbul kalemar bu kulundan çık. Bana baksana rahatlık etme sakın ha sen beni dinle. Kelimeni ne mekülüm ettiler cimametli gezanlarla yazdıma. İhtiyacınız var mı yardıma? Hatalı rhyme'ler, fatal rhyme'ler çatıl olur ha. Yatacaktır, yine bana balacaktır, kanacaktır, akacaktır. Rüzgar gibi esecektir, geri gelecektir. Ceza ettik bir sentezdir, bela teknik bir arızadır. Ürüs vardır, kanadı kırıktır. Taktik kuşkunun oluşumudur, şu yaptığım rap bir uçurumdur. Bak beni gör hadi kamil ol, tepeden tırnağa sen hami ol. Ve göz kulak oldum sen de ol, hadi holokostu gören insan ol. Ar gibi uç kartlar gibi konvede sen köle ol dedi ben patron. Rhyme'lerim can yakabilir ha pardon ya. Hey, be my name, my phone. Şimdi babana bir bakınız haydi. Muhammed'i çekisi bilir azı. Muhammed Ali gibi gelir azı. olmaz iyi. Bana bak beni gör beni ölmez iyi. Sesim hep duyulur tepeden bariton. Mekanım olabilir her anı zon. Yanıma gidenin canına girecektir. Ey be beni ayrı fon. Bana bak. Ay. Yo kalbini aç sana tak. Yo muamele pak katarak. Yo görünen köy bu dayak. Sözlerle gelen kendin olu sıra damus sanına. Namus gerekir ceza gibi bir kabus gerekir. Fanus gibi deliğinize çıkıdım olu sokulur. Bana bir bakınız sakınız andurandı. Kafanıza sakınız yakınız alevi. Veriniz her yeri holokostu görünüz. Gösteriniz işte bu ipa gösterimiz. Yo Allah rapin cezasını verdi. Şimdi bana bir bakınız haydi.
눈부신 햇살의 여름날 아침, 비 내리는 풍경이 스테어 같은 겨울의 아침, 세상의 모든 음악은 항상 여러분 곁을 지키고 있습니다. 매주 화요일 오전 10시 15분부터 11시까지 따뜻하고 아름다운 이야기와 음악이 준비되어 있습니다. 세상의 모든 음악은 가톨릭 방송에서 만나실 수 있습니다. 104.6 FM.
The longest running Filipino radio shows, Tinig Pinoy, delivers the hits every time. From classic tracks to modern chart toppers, hear them all alongside the latest headlines in business, entertainment, and community notices at 104.6 Planet FM. Every Saturday, 12:25 till 2 p.m. Tinig Pinoy, your music connection to the Philippines.